This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Live from the Podcast Zone at the NINA 2013 Conference and Expo in the Charlotte Convention Center, it's Within the Trenches with your host, Ricardo Martinez.
Good afternoon. This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and this is going to be just another podcast episode in a series of episodes that I'm going to be recording here in the Charlotte Convention Center of Charlotte, North Carolina, and this is the 2013 National NINA Conference and Expo. This episode is going to be sponsored by Threadzy as well as InDigital. Now, today I am sitting with Roger, who is with Coleman. Is it Coleman County 911, correct?
Yes,
Coleman County. From Coleman, Alabama, as well as Craig out of North Carolina. Now, looking at your lanyard, the sign that we have that shows where everybody is with, it says retired. So where are you retired from?
Here in North Carolina, from Guilford Metro 911.
Guilford
34
Metro.
Years, 3 months, 21 days, and 15 hours. But now who's counting?
Holy cow. That's a long time. So I can just imagine the kind of stories you have. What really drew you to 911?
Mine was kind of, I guess, born into the blood. Mm-hmm. As most people know, after World War II, a lot of our soldiers came back and they'd watched Europe and Asia get burned up, mm-hmm. but with no fire protection. And a lot of our volunteer fire departments started in the 50s and the 60s. My dad and some of my uncles helped form several volunteer fire departments in my hometown of Lexington here in North Carolina.
Wow.
That's north, not South Carolina. And in 1978, three days after I turned 18, I joined one of the fire departments that my dad had helped found, mm-hmm. and got into it, stayed into it, and made it into a full-time career. Eventually moved into 911, fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And I've been a blessed man. Really have.
What was it like for you when you got into 911, like when you first walked in and you saw everything there? I mean, being in with it for a while, you probably saw the dispatch center beforehand, though, right?
Right. When I started, probably a lot like Roger, I started out as a volunteer fireman, mm-hmm. and then I was taking an EMT class right after graduated high school. When my whole thing, my dad worked for AC Delco, and I was going to work on, you know, I was going to mess with cars and mm-hmm. was involved in racing, and that's where my life was going, and I still love messing with that, but got an offer to do some part-time dispatching. And you have to realize that this was for my county EMS, which had just gone paramedic in 1980.
Okay.
And there was a bed because we worked 24-hour shifts. It was a metal hospital bed. There was a six-line phone. There was a punch clock. And there was a radio with a microphone. And it set up, it was two channels, and it set on a cigar box to keep it tilted up. It was a metal desk. And we had a little magnetic board with the six ambulances on it. And we worked 24-hour shifts just like everybody else.
Oh, man.
When I retired, I walked out of a center that had 23 people on duty that did 40,000 911 calls a month that we had just renovated for about $6 million. It was 5,400 square feet and had 7.5 miles of cable under the floor. Cool. So I went. Jeez. I got to watch this stuff go from nothing, like my buddy Roger here did, to watching it really evolve to where we're at today. And one of the most blessed times I had was the 4 years I spent on the NINA board, watching it at a national level. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, for anybody that's looking for something, yeah, fire, law, EMS, they're all fun in the field. Mm-hmm. The real action's in the comm center. That's where the real, real work gets done.
Right.
Anybody can run a call. When you're in the center, you're running all the calls.
Exactly. Now, Roger, how did you get into 911?
Well, prior to this, I was in the industry, the defense industry, mm-hmm. and we used to design and build, manufacture bombs to kill people. And the company that I was running part owner in, we elected to kind of phase it out, mm-hmm. and I retired from that. My wife, I walked in after I was retired, and she said, "This house is not big enough for both of us, you know, you got to get something else." So mm-hmm. I had long admired the 911 public safety mm-hmm. Industry and, you know, what all the folks do, you know, the dedication. And there's an opening with the 911 director in our district was retiring, so I put in an application and was hired. And as Greg was saying, you know, it was unbelievable. We had paper maps to find, locate people. You had wireless was just barely coming online, and you couldn't locate people. You know, they call in, you wouldn't know where they were. I mean, there was just so many challenges. And over the years with Craig and Nina and, of course, our local Alabama chapter, we have been working, and we're still striving right now to improve the system so it'll serve the people better. A lot of people don't understand what is involved in 911 and,
right,
and answering calls. I remember back in 2011 in our county, we had a tornado come through. And we had a dispatcher that, as a tornado was tearing the roof off the top of the center, was under the desk answering calls, and we didn't miss one 911 call during that period of time.
Wow.
And, you know, these instances, when they happen, you know, of course, we take it for granted. That's part of our job. But, you know, it's just a wonderful public service thing that we do. And, you know, certainly don't do it for money, as Greg probably will tell you. You know,
But, yeah, that is kind of the running joke.
Well, I never met anybody in public safety didn't have a second career doing something. Most firemen I know have their arms wore out from painting and not from fighting fire.
Yeah.
And most 911 folks I know got something else they're doing. So, yeah, everybody's got something.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same way. I've, throughout my whole career of being in dispatch, I'm a 911 supervisor in Michigan. And, you know, we work the line, we do everything. But during that downtime, I would be doing homework because I was going to school. So I went for graphic design as well as new media journalism, which kind of explains what we're doing here. But, yeah, definitely. I know what you mean, doing something on the side. With Next Generation 911, though, coming in, see, you know, it keeps evolving and evolving, and I see the both of you smiling, kind of a, you know, are you kind of on the fence? Or let's take texting to 911 for instance. What are your thoughts?
Well, you got to realize, and I'll make this perfectly clear. When Nina passed the I-3 standard, was the sole vote against it because I don't think it's ready yet. I think texting is not going to be as big a deal as they think it is. Now, that's always been my deal. Yes, that's going to happen some. But if you go up the road here about 2.5 hours, 3 hours, you'll come to Durham, North Carolina, home of Duke University, the only university.
And I disagree with that. Roll Tide.
Yeah. Duke. Anyway, Durham has been one of the early adopters, and Durham's done a pilot project with Verizon, and it's been great. I mean, they really, Entrato and Verizon have worked together, have really stepped up and done some great things. But I think Jim, the director there, had said that I think in over a two or three-year period, I think they've got maybe 3 calls. And they've been very public about doing it. And actual calls. I don't think that the texting will be as big as we've all thought it was. I think the realization of Next Generation 911 is going to be the stability of the platform, the eventuality to build the better platform. Roger comes from a state with a lot of tradition, and that in February of 1968, the first call was placed out of Haleysville. Mom and pop shop beat AT&T to the punch, got the call out, did the first 911 call. We're still using that same technology today, and a lot of people don't realize that. You don't drive a 1968 car. If you did, you'd be up here showing it off at a museum. But our 911 technology, no matter how big it is running on that backbone. So I think next gen as a whole is our saving grace. I think it's where we have to go to. It's the that IP atmosphere. Texting is such a small part of it. I think people get caught up in that. And, hey, if that's the rallying cry we need to get the funding out there, great. Let the politicians think they're doing something.
Right.
But I think it's so much more than that. Now, that's my personal opinion. What I caution PSAPs, now that I'm retired, the ones that pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, we want to ask you a question, I do that for a lot of people. I get calls every day about stuff, whether it's a legal consult or whether it's a somebody just asking me about a piece of equipment or something, or my old center. But what I tell them is be very careful about what you buy right now and what company you sign with.
Right.
There are some great established people out there that can do this stuff. There are some people that have just popped up in the last couple of years, kind of like wireless, and Roger remembers this. We used to have, you'd come into these conferences
and you'd see 50 wireless providers. They could do all this with a wireless connection. Right. Today, we're back to the same five that were originally there. And I caution people before they spend millions and millions moving to next gen,
right,
go with a solid base that does that. Don't sweat so much the texting. Sweat your network. Sweat your ability to grow, because we can't do that right now. Mm-hmm. And now that's my, like I say, that's just, you know, my opinion, a North Carolina redneck.
Well, you know, I would agree with most of what Craig says, but I guess I'd look at it from a different angle, because when I started, you know, I got an iPhone, you know, and I didn't, you know, I grew up in a generation where you didn't know how to text and all these things. And the generations today, that's the way you communicate with them. You know, we have, I have a stepson who's in the Special Forces, and and we'd call them and call them and call them, and they never call you back. But you text them, and then instantly they'll come back to you.
Right.
And I said all that to say this, is you're going to have folks that somebody's breaking in their house. They can't say anything. The beauty of it, where it, to be able to communicate in there and get help and save lives. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the element that that I think we need to look at. And but he's right on the backbone of the network. Now, we're in Alabama, we're doing a next generation. And this, of course, the texting is part of that. It is much, much bigger than that. Once we get our system in place, we have a hurricane comes through on the Gulf Coast down there, and it knocks out all the 911 centers there, we can immediately, eat from Huntsville or Birmingham or Cullman, Walker County, we can actually answer calls there. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about. It's a, it's a new net, it's a new day. And we see many, many good things coming down the pike. But you got, as he said, you got to be careful to make sure, because a lot of it isn't proven yet.
Right.
You know, a guy, I used to be in sales a lot of years ago, and you got to watch these salesmen. They'll tell you anything, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and if anybody tells you, well, you have an I3, ask them to show you the end-to-end standards on it. And I realize a lot of your listeners are telecommunicators, and they're going, what the devil?
I was just
going
to say.
I don't care about all this stuff.
Yeah.
Make sure your boss does you right. You and for you that are just think you're just a communicator, first off, shame on you, because you're not just anything. You're a 911 professional. You're not a dispatcher. Dispatchers work for trucking companies and cab companies, and nobody ever died because the FedEx box was late. But
good point.
for the people out there that are sitting behind the console that are listening to this,
right?
Do you, you know, if you want to sit behind that console all your career, that's great. God bless you. I love you. But I hope you have the drive and ambition to someday want the center, to want to be the supervisor, to want to be, and you need to educate yourself.
Right.
If you're saying, well, I never get to go to conferences, then by God, work to where you can. Do those things that get you. You know, Nina gives away a scholarship every year, and few people ever even look at it. It's full paid to get to any of the big conference. I know our sister organization, APCO, does similar things. The Navigator, which is NAED's big conference. Those are the three big ones that you want to be at.
Right.
And, you know, you're from Illinois. You're from Michigan.
Yes, Michigan.
Michigan has a huge NENA conference up there. They have a very passionate group of NENA folks. They also have a very passionate group of APCO folks. You go right next door, you to Illinois, one of the biggest conferences. The only thing that I've ever seen bigger than that is you go down to Alabama to that Gulf Coast. And folks, let me tell you something. If you like shrimp,
I love shrimp.
You need to go to Alabama.
We know how
you need to get them to invite you to come down to Alabama and do these podcasts, but you need to go to the Shrimp Bowl and do these podcasts.
All right.
You could do streaming video from there. Oh, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, my stomach is ready to grumble.
Oh, yes. You know, I'm born and raised in North Carolina, but my other two states is Texas and Alabama, and not necessarily in that order. But, those folks that are out there that are sitting in the center, there's a lot coming your way. I used to think, you know, when CAD came out, oh, my God, when 911 came out, oh, my God, that's nothing to what you're fixing to see, folks. We're fixing to rock your world.
That's very true. And, you know, when we think about the dispatchers that are out there and the hard work that they do, you know, my heart, I just can't say enough accolades, enough good things about them, because, you know, if you think about it, we've had dispatchers, and I know Greg could give you 1,000 stories that someone calls 911 and says, I have a gun to my head and I want to blow my brains out. Mm-hmm. And this hero sitting there, you know, the first responder.
The first responders. That's what we are.
And they're, you know, trying to talk this individual through, you know, please don't, you know, and trying to get them and to get help out there maybe mm-hmm. to stop it. And then they hear click, bang, and the person. And you can't imagine what kind of pressure and stress it puts on somebody. And it's with them the rest of their life.
Right.
You know, so these heroes, to me, they're just wonderful. You know, when I ran the company, I used to say that, you know, you can buy all this equipment, you can mm-hmm. buy everything, but without good people to run that equipment and to handle those calls, you've got nothing but a building and some equipment. And the same thing is true in public safety. You know, mm-hmm. you've got to have the boots on the ground. You got to have the folks that know what they're doing, train properly. And that's what NENA and APCO and the other organizations are all about, is to make sure that we give them the best tools that they can have mm-hmm. when they're responding under these extreme stressful situations.
Right. And kind of piggybacking off of that, you know, talking about stress, do you have any advice or anything for, you know, the telecommunicators out there who are taking these calls and being, you know, under that kind of stress? You know, should they go find someone that they should talk to, you know, co-workers, or, you know, find a different counselors or something? Because, you know, there's a lot of times that, you know, dispatchers take calls and they can't really get that out. You know, they can't talk to anybody about it. So what, do you guys have any, anything there?
Well, first off is don't abuse things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my personal favorite was food.
Mm-hmm.
I went from probably 175 when I was working in the field to about 325. Now I'm back to 240, but it took a toll on me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had shoulders replaced, knees replaced. I'm a diabetic now. Those things will get to you. So whether it's alcohol, whether it's food, whether it's screwing around, whatever,
mm-hmm.
don't abuse like that.
Amen.
You don't necessarily need to run around to all you work buddies. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make in our mm-hmm. industry is the only friends they have, the only buddies they hang out, are the people they work with. You need to develop outside interest. You need to develop right. outside friends.
Diversity.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get away from right. that. Good Lord won't ever do you wrong either. Having a good relationship there won't hurt you at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not.
I would say that'd be number one, Craig.
Yeah, I agree. Because I've never, you know, they used to say, I've been told that the most praying goes on in a casino. Second most praying goes on in a comm center. Mm-hmm. You know, I teach a lot now, and I travel uh-huh. a lot, and I get to see this country, and I've been blessed over my career. I've been in Europe. I've been around different places around the world for public safety and stuff. But I will tell you that of all the centers I've seen, and I've been in all but seven states, I've been in all but a couple of the provinces in Canada, and I've been to several foreign countries,
mm-hmm.
and all the comm centers I've ever walked in, centers that were successful and the people were successful kept something in mind, and that was, there was nothing more important than the communicators. I don't care about the responders. I don't care about the citizens. I don't care about that. Now, before you damn me, let me clarify that. The reason I say that is, if you don't take care of the communicators, then there's nobody out there to take care of anybody else.
Amen.
Once your communicators are took care of, now we'll take care of the responders.
Right.
We'll make sure they're safe. We'll get them the right information. I'm a huge believer in protocols and doing things by, whether it's medical, fire, police, whatever, in protocols.
Right.
Then once our responders are safe, then we can take care of the citizens. If you don't do that, if you don't take care of the comm center first and make sure they're staffed, safe, that they're mentally stable.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed. The last center I worked for the last 13 years had a huge, beautiful gym that was designed just for the communicators. And that I know not every center can do that,
mm-hmm.
but you can get out and you can walk.
Right.
You can get out and you can talk. Get people in your circle and your friends that don't care what you do. If you meet me on a plane and you ask me what I do, I'm going to say I'm retired from the government. I don't go into it any deeper because mm-hmm. I don't want to, one, people get into all these questions about it, and I understand that. But sometimes after all these years, I just want to chill out from it.
Right.
I mean, I love what I do, and I'm blessed. I've made good friends with guys like Rogers and the mm-hmm. Alabama gang and the North Carolina gang and the Illinois gang and the Michigan gang and California and Alaska. And I've met people all over this world mm-hmm. that do this job. There's 6,500 911 centers in the U.S., and there's about 200,000 of us that do this.
Wow.
That's a very small fraternity of 300 million people in this country.
So get outside that fraternity or that sorority, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Get outside it. Get with people you don't know. And like I said, it never hurts to have a good relationship with the good Lord.
You got that right.
You know, to follow up on some of what Greg said, in Alabama, we have a couple teams when we have a major incident that mm-hmm. They can actually call people that are trained to come in and they, you know, talk to the folks and,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
just let them, you know, get everything off their chest
yeah.
Type deal. And it's worked pretty well. I attended an APCO class one time, and the teacher was telling us, and Greg, maybe he may know what the vitamin is, but they were saying that there's some vitamins that you can take under that'll help relieve stress. Now, I think it was B.
They're not called Budweiser.
No, that's right. Amen. Yeah.
Right.
It was like B12 or something.
Mine was shrimp, fettuccine, pizza. Yeah.
B complex. And now that won't put the weight on you, but I believe that's what this
B complex, speaker, huh?
Yeah. Hmm. But anyway, it's something somebody might Google and check out, but it's
right,
supposed
yeah.
to relieve the stress. But as he says, you know, you need to get away from, you know, what you're doing for a while and just clear the cobwebs out of you.
Yeah,
you that, know, your no, brain, and when you come back, things look a lot more refreshed.
Yeah, you got to realize, and I know it's hard because it was for me for a long time. I like I say, I was blessed. I got to fight fire. I got to work EMS as a paramedic. I got to work as a sworn officer. Mm-hmm. You know, do 911 and NINA board and all that. But when it's all ever said and done with, and you're done with your career, what you got left is your family. What you got left is your relationship with those outside the business. You need to form those. I know too many people that walk away from our business and they're miserable because they that's all they ever had.
Right.
Or they don't walk away until somebody carries them away.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
Yep.
And I wish everybody a blessed retirement. I mean, I've only been retired now about 3 months, but I love it. I wish I'd have done it 30 years ago.
I was going to say, how has that been for you?
Retirement is wasted on the old. I'm 52 yeah. and that's what I tell people. But, you know, if you let and you sit there and you let this stuff eat at you, mm-hmm. we had a young lady or a woman here in North Carolina in the eastern part of the state about 3 or 4 years ago. She took a 911 call. It was a local factory. And they said, our safety team's here doing CPR on one of our people. So she dispatched the EMS, the paramedics. Mm-hmm. And she dispatched the volunteer fire department, the first responders. Well, the fire department got there first. The fire department radioed back. It was their fire chief that had collapsed.
Oh,
it was
wow.
her husband.
Oh,
nice.
She had to stay on duty because there's only 2 positions center for about an hour and a half until somebody could come and relieve her. But she stayed there and she did her job. When she got to the hospital, they'd already pronounced him. He was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sad situation. Wow. And she talked about all her, you know, coworkers and the people who showed up and all. But what I've heard her talk about since, the lady talk about, is the outpouring of other people. She said, I'm not against anybody in public safety or whatever, but she's now retired. And she said, if I didn't have those people outside my work, I don't know what I'd have done. The work community, yeah, they supported her and they were there mm-hmm. for her and they took
yeah.
care of her. And we should. But you got to remember, someday when all this is done, that you don't go home at night and sleep with that headset. Well, I know a few people that do, but you don't know. You know that headset
That's
don't
funny.
Carry your legacy down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That headset's not the little girl you're going to walk down the aisle someday.
Right.
That headset's not, you're not going to watch graduate from high school. I just saw my middle daughter graduate from high school. My oldest daughter's getting ready to start her master's and wants to get her doctorate. My baby's 14 and she's going into 10th grade and she's about to get her license and she's all fired up. Those are the things that mean it in your life. What
right.
we do is great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the things we do outside that is what's special.
Exactly. And you know, I usually, when I go into a wrap up of an episode, I usually ask for, is there any advice that you guys could give for, you know, so-and-so, whatever the situation is, you know, during that time of the conversation?
Play the lottery.
I was going to say, you guys gave already some awesome information. I don't even have to ask because it was just so forthcoming. This is going to be great for people to hear because, you know, I myself, in one of the previous episodes, I was talking about stress and actually a class that I took during the Lansing Conference in Michigan. You know, I was there presenting, but before that, they had this class. It was Jim Marshall, actually, who gave this class on, you know, it was PTSD and EMDR mm-hmm. and all. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him And I'm thinking, oh man, yeah, I never really thought about that, that, you know, some of the stresses that I'm going through is really, you know, hitting my family as well. So it's good for other people to hear that so that they can step back as well and think about it. You know, think about your families, you know, what's going on, and, you know, maybe kind of stop being a punk, I guess, because I know I have been at times because of the stress.
I met Jim a few years ago, and I'm glad Jim got involved in this. Jim's got some family in 911, and if you've never, those of you that are listening out there, if you've never, Google the man. He's a shrink. He didn't know anything about our business, but he wanted to help because he's got family in it.
Right.
He has taken it upon himself to learn this business, and you need to listen to him. He's got some good advice, and everybody goes through rough times. There's nothing wrong with professional help. I can tell you that personally. Everybody goes through rough times. If you think you're so tough you don't need it, you best get the hell out of this business because you're going to hurt somebody, yourself or somebody else.
Yeah.
And Jim Marshall's a really good guy. Nina's got a collective of people here within one of the working groups that's that does a lot of that. Jim's one of the kind of guys that you can listen to. The other one I'd recommend, if people ever get a chance to listen, was a, and I just blanked on his names, from one from California that was the Highway Patrol. God, I just blanked on
that Chip.
the one that, there was a gentleman who's deputy director of Highway Patrol in California, and now he does motivational speaking. And I just blanked on his name. God, I can't think
of
it.
Did he speak in Long Beach? Was it?
Yeah, I think he was there. And
I think he spoke there. I can't recall.
No, he spoke in Texas. He spoke in Texas. And he spoke the year I was coming in as president. But he, I can't think of his name right now. I forgot it. And I know that screws up your whole podcast.
Hey, no, that's completely
fine. But if you'll go to, if you'll go to the 911 Cares program, they actually have his CDs, and they have some of his stuff on there. And I'm not making advertisement for them. But the guy really has some good advice about careers and about not taking yourself so damn serious.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of it. But Jim Marshall, good man. Listen to his words.
Yeah. Episode 20. He was on episode 20 with another Deanne Somerset.
Yeah,
is her last
Deanne
name.
Somerset.
Yep. Yep. She was on that episode as well. And as we're talking about the stress, you know, I was telling him a few things, and he says, you know, Ricardo, that kind of sounded like an outcry for help. And I said, what? I'm like, what do you mean? So he starts repeating it, you know, slower to me. And I thought, whoa, he just got me. I'm like, yeah. And then, yeah. And then, so, you know, I started talking, you know, myself, and then, you know, doing stuff like this for me is therapeutic, you know, able to get stuff out. And other dispatchers that I've spoken to, you know, they talk about their stories, and, you know, some of the ones that were real intense for them, you know, the ones that really stayed with them. And then afterwards, they feel better about it. So I'm glad that I'm able to help out that way too. But yeah, Jim Marshall got me. He got me good. But, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, in my career path, I have found something that would, you know, Craig mentioned earlier, that I had the Lord in my life. And I try to, every morning, try to read some scripture, you know, in the Bible. And that helps me. That does relieve stress. You know, it lets me know that there's a higher power. And you know, when you come outside and you see the beautiful leaves and the, you know, we're in the Lord's big oxygen tent. Every time you take a breath, you know, he's given us that. And, you know, but to me, that helps me relax and to understand, you know, it's not all about me. You know, it definitely helps.
That's great. And on that note, that's going to be the wrap-up of this episode. This is episode number 25 or 26. Oh, they got so many episodes going on, I got to keep track of them. But it's episode 26. And once again, it's sponsored by Threadzy and InDigital. I thank you very much, you know, for joining me. For those listening, as always, you can email the show, thejcast@thejabberlog.com. You can follow us on Twitter at WTTPodcast. And like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. And if you guys are here at the conference, we're going to be doing a t-shirt giveaway, the official t-shirts for the show, as well as Dispatch Strong and some mugs. So you can take a card that's here at the Podcast Zone, and you can like us on Facebook. That'll get you in for the drawing. Or if you don't have Facebook, you can just sign one of the cards, throw it in our tin over there, and we'll pull out names randomly. And this episode will be up on thejabberlog.com later on, available 24/7. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast.
If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.